Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We are going to begin our service the same way we always do, with a prayer, and then we're going to worship God for a while. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us together once again so that we may be in thy presence, so that we may be in heavenly places with thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would preside over this entire service here today. We ask, Lord, that thy blessing would be here, that thy anointing would be here. We pray, Lord, that thou would fill us with a desire to draw near to thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would draw near unto us. Oh God, we pray that thou would give us the ability and the desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Lord, that our worship would be acceptable unto thee. We ask, oh God, that each and everything we do here this day would be pleasing in thy sight and according to thy perfect will. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Well, you know what? Let's make this easy this morning. Let's start with number one in the hymnal, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Number one. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He chose the seed of Israel's grace, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crowned him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his four and sing We're Marching to Zion, number four. Lord. And sing Marching On, number 39.
Marching on, marching on, marching on.
Another song that comes to mind. I think I know the number, but I'm going to double check before I announce it because I've been wrong before. Number 121, just over in the glory land. 121.
I've a home prepared for the saints abide, just over in the glory land. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And next we are going to turn to number, I believe it's 93. Yes, number 93. Oh, I want to see him. Sing when we all get to heaven. 173.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one more song, but before we do that, we do have a prayer request to take care of today. I received a message yesterday from a woman named Jackie Clark, who is presently in the hospital. She has COVID, so she asked that we would pray for her, and I told her that we would, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we bring Jackie before thee right now. We pray, Lord, that thou would be merciful to her. We ask, Lord, that thou would reach down from heaven, and we pray, Lord, that she would be healed completely of this disease, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou would take it away, for we know that thou art able. Nothing is too hard for thee. Thou hast the final authority and the final say in all things, and we know that by thy stripes we are healed. So we ask, O God, for a miraculous touch from thee. We pray, Lord, that this disease would be conquered in a mighty way, and let thy spirit be upon Jackie here this day. We pray, Lord, that thou would comfort her during this difficult time. We ask, Lord, that thou would heal her completely. And we pray, Lord, that thou would rest upon her by thy spirit and by thy might. We ask this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Yes. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to say, you know, I'm really thankful. Yesterday, I was sitting in my recliner in my office, and a thought occurred to me when I glanced over at the clock and I realized it was May 1st. And, I realized that that was the 2-year anniversary of the day I was diagnosed with diabetes. And on that day, 2 years ago, my blood sugar was 427. You know what it was yesterday? 127. That's 300 points lower. So praise God for that. And today it was, this morning it was 120. So praise God. Things have been very good in that regard for a while now. And of course, the last time they checked my A1C, it was 6.5. They want it under 7. So that's still pretty good. Praise the Lord. So I'm thankful for that. I know the Lord has helped me greatly. And I tell you what, I'm able to do a lot more than I used to be able to, especially yard work and things like that. I remember when I had uncontrolled diabetes, it was hard to even get out of bed in the morning. But what was really amazing about that is even though it was hard to get out of bed, the Lord helped me every Sunday to get up here and preach. It seemed like I always had extra energy on Sunday, so praise the Lord. We're going to sing one more song before we open our Bibles this morning. Let's turn to number 222 and sing In the City Where the Lamb is the Light, 222.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
To open our Bibles. I'm putting a title on this message. This message today is called Perilous Times 2021. And we're going to be starting in 2 Timothy chapter 3 to begin with. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, it was a busy week for me, as they usually are. But I had to spend quite a lengthy amount of time sifting through the news and reading the news and processing the news mentally. It took a lot out of me, and then I had to actually write the newsletter, and I just couldn't help but think, how in the world am I going to get this done? Time was running out. The clock was ticking. We do have deadlines, you know. And I started writing it on Monday, and I finished it on Tuesday, which is remarkable because it usually takes at minimum of 3 days, sometimes as long as 5, depending on the complexity of the newsletter. But this one, it seemed like it really fell into place. And I have to say that when it was finished, I was a bit surprised. I thought I knew what I was going to write, but it turned out to be something quite different from what I had imagined and what I had envisioned. And the title of the newsletter, in case you're wondering, is an unrecognizable place. And I think it was this newsletter that really inspired the message today, because when you read this newsletter, you're going to see quite clearly that we live in very perilous times. We live in a period of time when everything in this world is changing so dramatically that this world is becoming an unrecognizable place. Yeah. Now, before I begin the message today, I do want to pray one more time. And of course, after that, we will be going into 2 Timothy chapter 3. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness and thanking thee for this precious book that thou hast bestowed upon us. We are so grateful, O God, that thou hast given us this precious gift wherein we may learn of thee, wherein we may learn of thy mercy and of thy grace, and wherein we may be admonished of the things to come in this world. We know that thou art with us. We know that thou wilt never forsake us. And we are thankful for these reassurances. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to be with us here today as we open our Bibles and as we look upon thy blessed scripture. Inspire us, O God, to seek thee fully and completely. We pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, O God. There is none like thee. There is none beside thee. There is none greater than thee, and there never will be. And we know that there is no name greater than that almighty name of Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. You know, in the newsletter I wrote about many of the ways this world has changed and is changing. It's really in the process of changing right now. And these changes we are seeing, have really been brought on by this COVID pandemic. It has been used. It has been used to bring about change to this world in very dramatic ways. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm just going to read the first verse, and then I've got some other things to say. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." You know, we certainly live in very perilous times. It's truly incredible the things that we are seeing happening. And, of course, we know we've had this COVID pandemic, and it's been very widespread all over the world. It originated in China. A growing number of people believe it originated in a laboratory in China, and not just kooks and conspiracy theorists either. In fact, the former head of the CDC, Robert Redfield, you may remember his name from the news last year. He was on the news quite frequently. But he said that he believes it escaped from a laboratory in China. And there's this theory that it was a bioweapon, which very well could be possible. Of course, now we see that this thing is mutating, and it's mutated in India, and mutated in Brazil, and mutated in the UK, mutated in South Africa, and all over the place, really, because at one point they said they believe there were 4,000 variants of this virus. And I believe it was in California not long ago they detected a new double variant. So there's been a lot of this going around. And, of course, one of the things that has been done is governments around the world have really cracked down and have really taken away people's freedom. And we know that's very true here in the United States. We've seen things that, well, we've never seen on quite this level before. The extent of the lockdowns and the restrictions, and in certain areas you actually had the National Guard stopping cars at the border and forcibly forcing people to quarantine. And actually up in Canada right now, they have what they call quarantine hotels. And it's not nearly as nice as it sounds. You know, you hear the word hotel, you might think it sounds like a nice place. You know, the Holiday Inn Express is pretty great. Usually, don't go to the one in Shelbyville, Kentucky. It's terrible, but usually they're pretty good. And the one in Beaver Dam here, I'm sure, is very good. I know someone who works there. Anyway, they have these quarantine hotels up in Canada, and what it is when you travel to Canada, they make you quarantine in these hotels forcibly. And one guy said they put him in one of these hotels and they forgot to feed him and the others who were there for 24 hours. And another guy was describing his homecoming to Canada as almost like a kidnapping. He said a black van pulled up. They put him in the van. He asked where he was going. He said, "We'll let you know when we get there." So that's happening up in Canada right now. And, of course, we know that there's been a lot of restrictions in Australia and elsewhere around the world. And it's pretty bad in China, but even China was almost not quite as bad as what they're doing in Canada right now, because they would put people in these apartment buildings or these hotels in China, but at least they'd feed them. Their food deliveries were made by robots. They had armed guards at the door, but the food would be delivered by robots over there in China. Of course, we know that in this country, they've been rolling out the vaccines, and now they say that 100 million Americans are fully vaccinated. But, of course, they're warning that everybody needs to get on this vaccine train and go get it. Otherwise, we might not be able to go back to normal. Of course, President Biden, he said in March that, you know, if everybody gets vaccinated, maybe we can have small gatherings with your friends and family for the 4th of July. But then he's warning just recently, saying, well, if not everybody gets vaccinated, we might have to cancel that. We might not be able to gather on the 4th of July. What he seems to not be aware of, though, is that we don't need his permission to gather on the 4th of July. People are going to do it anyway. But It's really interesting, too, because these people have been saying, these government officials as well as these television analysts, they've been saying that what you need to do is tie the vaccine to freedom. Tell people if you get the vaccine, you can have your freedom back. And consider this one quote, and this is in the newsletter. This is a quote from a woman who appeared. She's actually a medical analyst on CNN, and she used to be the head of Planned Parenthood, so you know she's no good. But this is her quote. How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration need to come out a lot bolder and say, if you are vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all the freedoms that you have. Because otherwise, people are going to go out and enjoy those freedoms anyway. And in her mind, you can't have that. People enjoying their freedom. But you know, we've seen a dramatic change in the way governments operate, and now we have Pope Francis who's saying, well, we need to get the vaccine out to everybody, and we need to establish a global governance to do it. The Pope actually called for a global governance so that everybody can get vaccinated. Of course, we know he's been trying to unite the world's religions for quite some time, but now he wants a global government. And he's made other comments like that before. Whatever excuse they can come up with for a global government, he will undoubtedly mention it at some point. But another thing that has happened in this country and in other countries around the world, people have changed to cashless transactions at a far greater pace than they had before. And of course, this country was trending towards a cashless society before. In fact, back in 2017, Visa actually declared a war on cash. I don't know if you remember that, but I do put a reminder in the newsletter of that. They declared a war on cash, and they were offering restaurants $10,000 if they would go cashless. That was back in 2017. Now they are saying that the pandemic has hastened the transition to a cashless society by 3 years. And another thing that has happened in this country is robots and artificial intelligence have grown by leaps and bounds in this country. Why? Because of COVID. They had the social distancing in the factories. They had a diminished workforce because people got sick and couldn't work. And so they brought in these robots, and they brought in all of this automation, and it's estimated that every time they bring in one device to automate things in a factory, it replaces 6 workers. And over the course of the next 3 years, well, actually the next 4 years, I believe by 2025, there's going to be millions more who lose their factory jobs. This country is already having a problem, by the way, because people don't want to work anymore. They've gotten accustomed to their stimulus checks, and people have gotten their extra unemployment. You know, there was a time when that made sense, to give people a little bonus for unemployment so that they could get by a little better because they couldn't go out and work. Things were shut down. But now we're in a situation where people like getting that extra money. They don't want to go back out there and work a job. And so places are having a horrible time finding people to work. And my sister, Becky, she works over at Kraft, and she was saying they're having a terrible time finding employees at Kraft, people who want to work there. And so they're offering a signing bonus now. And if you work there for a certain period, you get $250. And I think if you work there a little longer, you get another $250. And if you're there for a whole year, you get a $500 on top of the other $500 for a $1,000 bonus. And so these places are trying anything they can. And another problem in this country right now is there's shortages of so many things, raw materials. They're having a difficult time finding raw materials for almost everything. The price of lumber has absolutely skyrocketed, and now they're saying that restaurants are having trouble even procuring ketchup packets. Now they're saying there's going to be a shortage of gasoline in this country because they can't find anybody who wants to drive trucks. And there's a shortage of chicken because nobody wants to work in the chicken factories. And plus there's this enormous appetite for chicken right now in this country, and they blame a lot of that on the Popeye's chicken sandwich, which I haven't tried, but apparently they say they're so good that people were fighting over them and mugging one another to try to get one of these sandwiches. So I don't know what they're putting in them, probably a lot of MSG or something. But yeah, people seem to like those things. Nevertheless, this country is having a lot of trouble. And these robots, they're coming in, but at the same time, they're also developing killer robots. Now, they don't have to do that, but they are. The U.S. military is working on it, and so is the Chinese military, and even the Israeli state. They're working on these killer robots. They're robots who can think for themselves, make decisions for themselves, and they are armed. And they're saying this is going to be the future of warfare. Well, it doesn't sound like a very good future. And then you've got Mr. Elon Musk, a very eccentric fellow, who said, well, what we need to do in order to keep up with the robots is we as human beings become part robot ourselves. And so he has his company Neuralink, who is developing a brain chip. And this has been ongoing for a while. They've been implanting it in animals. And just recently, they put one in a monkey, and I watched the video. They have it online. You can find it on YouTube. It's a monkey named Pager. And what he's doing is he's playing a video game, controlling it with his mind. They already have these chips. They put it in this poor monkey. But now they want to put it in human beings. Elon Musk said just recently that they might be able to start clinical trials on humans this year. So thus you see, they have a chip for your hand and they have a chip for your head too. But they say, well, if we don't become one with the robots, they're going to take over and destroy humanity. Well, I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of unforeseen problems if they really perfect this and start implanting it in people. But of course we know that even in this country, there's all of that violence too. The mass shootings, and of course the police shootings and the protests and so forth. It has gotten so crazy in this country that the police can't even really do their job anymore without people lashing out at them. There was that shooting they had over there in Ohio. It was very sad, obviously, but there's that teenage girl who had a knife in her hand, and she was about to stab another girl, so a policeman shot her. And that's sad. You don't like to see that, but people were condemning the police officer for shooting a knife-wielding teenage girl who was about to seriously injure or possibly even kill another teenage girl. The police officer had no other choice, but they're still saying, well, they should have found another way. So, you know, no matter what they do, I tell you what, right now is a terrible time to be a cop. And you might find in the coming months that a lot of people don't want to do that anymore either. And then if that happens, we're going to be in a real pickle. But, you know, there's some other things going on in this country. I've got some news stories here. I found this one this morning. It says, no pandemic end in sight with raging outbreaks in India and Brazil. Things are absolutely out of control in both India and Brazil right now. It's very sad. And this story, it's a little outdated already. The number has grown, but it says more than 36 killed in mass shootings in the U.S. since March. And, of course, the liberals' solution to that, they say, is to ban guns, but that's not going to solve it. I've mentioned this before, but did you know that you can use a 3D printer to print a fully working gun? How are you going to ban that? Plus, the criminals aren't going to turn in their guns. So banning these guns isn't going to fix this problem. The problem is people have wickedness in their hearts. The problem is people have evil spirits in their hearts, working in their minds. And I don't know if people are aware of this, but out west, we have not only a drought, but a mega drought. And it's back in California. In fact, this story says that California reports third driest year on record. And because of the mega drought out west, it's not just in California. The Colorado River, they're saying, could sink to a record low, which, of course, spells trouble for the West because the Colorado River provides a lot of water to people who live out there. And then here's an interesting little story I found, too. It says, Pentagon develops implant that could help detect COVID under your skin. Yet another implant. And the story goes on to say, medical researchers at the Pentagon have created a microsensor implant that may eventually detect COVID-19 when inserted under the skin. Relax, conspiracy theorists. They're not being disseminated via vaccines. Oh, that's very reassuring. Thank you. But it says the revolutionary subdermal technology was developed by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, which operates under the Pentagon umbrella, according to Sunday night's broadcast of 60 Minutes. The top secret unit was launched during the Cold War to study emerging technologies for military use, among them innovations to defend soldiers from biological weapons. Dr. Matt Hepburn, an infectious disease physician and retired Army colonel, revealed that the microsensor, which is not in widespread use outside of the Defense Department, well, that's interesting, too, because what that tells us is that they're already using it inside the Defense Department, could help detect infections and COVID-19 in an individual well before a patient zero spawns an outbreak. In a 60-minute interview, Pentagon researchers claim they've created, well, I read that part already. I'll continue on. They have a quote here. We challenge the research community to come up with solutions that may sound like science fiction, said Hepburn, whose role at DARPA, he added, is to take pandemics off the table. Hepburn compared their diagnostic device to a car's check engine alert. Despite conspiracy theories that claim Microsoft's Bill Gates is using vaccines as a vehicle to insert a microscopic global positioning system into our bodies, 60 Minutes clarified that DARPA's device would not track your every move, nor is it being administered via shots, as some would-be Twitter sleuths have pondered. It's a sensor, Hepburn told CBS correspondent Bill Whitaker. That's that tiny green thing in there. You put it underneath your skin, and what that tells you is that there are chemical reactions going on inside the body, and that signal means you are going to have symptoms tomorrow. Well, isn't that just dandy? Yeah, we see another implant that they have for you. They have implants where you can get them and they help you buy things where you don't need a wallet. By the way, Whole Foods, pretty soon what they're going to do in some of their stores in the Seattle area, you're going to be able to go in there and pay for your groceries with the palm of your hand. That's the latest thing from Amazon. They own Whole Foods. They'll probably eventually roll that out to all of the Whole Foods stores. But anyway, you're seeing all of these implants and devices coming forward. You got the brain chip. They got the RFID chip that they can put in your hand so that you can open doors and control computers and buy things without money. And now they've got an implant from the Pentagon so they can detect COVID in you before you even know you have it. I tell you what, all of these sensors and implants and chips that they want to put in the human body are just bringing us closer and closer and closer to the mark of the beast. So yes, we are living in very perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And of course, we know that we're in perilous times right now. But the Apostle Paul is going to go on to describe some of the traits that people will have during these perilous times. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now, are there people out there who are in love with themselves? Narcissists? Oh, yes, there's a lot of them. You can find them all over the internet. Some people post selfies of themselves every day. "Look at me, everybody. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm eating. Here's where I'm going." And they have to post everything. "And here's a picture of my glorious face," you know. Post every day. And you have these people they call social media influencers now. And they get millions of people following them. And then, of course, they get all puffed up and vain from that. People do love themselves. Of course, that's been a problem for a long time, but a lot of these celebrities are obviously in love with themselves also. And of course, you know, here in Wisconsin, there's this big flap right now over Aaron Rodgers, who apparently is unhappy with the Green Bay Packers and is talking about leaving the team because working conditions aren't good enough. You know, he signed a contract in 2018. You know how much that contract was for? $134 million. And he's unhappy. I don't know. It kind of seems like maybe he's in love with himself. But then, you know, another problem we have is covetous. Yes, people covet. They see what other people have and they want it. That's been going on for a long time. In fact, that's been going on so long that it's one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not covet." Boasters. People love to boast. Proud. Yes, they see a lot of pride. In fact, we're coming to the month of June pretty soon. It's just a month off. And they call that, what do they call that? Pride Month. And you're going to see all kinds of pride celebrations, and Target will probably have their pride merchandise celebrating all of the homosexual things. The LGBTQ, whatever else they've tacked on to there now. That acronym seems to grow every couple of years, you know, they add another letter. But, yeah, you get all these big celebrations, and, of course, in, even in commercials on TV now, they'll have a gay couple on there. I know Honey Grahams, the little graham crackers, Teddy Grahams, actually, I think it was, the ones shaped like the little bears. They had a commercial a few years back with two men in it. They were, you know, gay, and they had a child. I mean, you know, trying to normalize this, but yes, people are very proud. They're very proud of their sins, and you're going to see a lot of pride on display next month. It's not going to be pretty. Blasphemers. Yes, we see blasphemy all over the place. Of course, we've got the satanic temple running wild in this country. And, you know, they'd like to go out and file lawsuits. And anywhere there's a Ten Commandments put up in a public building on display somewhere, they want to put up an idol of their Baphomet next to it. You know, they say, well, freedom of religion. If you're going to put up the Ten Commandments, you got to let us put up Satan, too, next to it, you know. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on, and they've recently filed yet another lawsuit against abortion restrictions because they say that abortion is a satanic right, and it's part of their religion. And there can't be any restrictions because they have freedom of religion, you know. Isn't that disgusting? Well, that really is blasphemy. Disobedient to parents. They don't have to go far to see that. And chances are, if you go over to the grocery store, you might see a kid throwing a fit because he wants some Skittles or something. Unthankful. Unholy. And of course, we know that the word holy means to be set apart. So if you're unholy, that means you're joined together with the whole world. Without natural affection. And we know that has to be a problem in this country, or women wouldn't be out there getting abortions at a wholesale level. They have to be without natural affection to do that. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means lacking self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, if you are really serving the Lord, there are going to be people who, despite the fact that you're not stirring up any trouble, and as a true child of God, you would never hurt anyone, they just for some reason can't stand you. They hate your guts. And the reason for that a lot of times is because these people who are so mean, ornery, and unkind have evil spirits working in them, and those spirits sense the spirit that is in you, and there's a reaction there. Have you ever wondered why some people dislike you so much for no reason whatsoever? Well, I think that's part of it. There are people who are despisers of those that are good. Of course, we know that none of us would be good without the Lord. It is the Lord that makes us good. So when they despise those that are good, they do that because they despise the Lord. Verse 4 tells us, traitors. Heady. What does heady mean? Well, heady is a word that has a couple of definitions, but I believe what it's referring to in this context is rash or reckless. High-minded. And what does high-minded mean? It means to make proud, puff up with pride, render insolent, to be puffed up with haughtiness or pride, or to be blind with pride or conceit. To render foolish or stupid. In other words, people who are so proud that they become stupid. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, is that a problem in this country today? Are people addicted to pleasure? Are they addicted to their smartphones? Are they addicted to their electronic devices? Has it become such a problem that people have to be mindful enough to put down their screens and parents have to regulate their children's screen time? Yes, because people love pleasure more than they love God. And you have to learn to put God first. Because there are so many things in this world that can take up your time, and time evaporates anyway. But we need to make sure that we are not so pleasure-minded that we love those things more than we love God. I'm not saying you need to go out and smash your smartphones. But I tell you what, if you're so addicted to it that it prevents you from reading the Bible, then you have a problem. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And we know that there's still, even in this country right now, a lot of religious people. And I think they did a poll a few years ago now. I'm not sure what the latest data would be. I haven't checked, but I know a few years ago they said that 72% of the American people claim to be Christian. Of course, if 72% of the people in the United States were really Christian, this would be a dramatically different country. But I also saw another report just recently that said, despite all of these claims that people are Christians, they did a study and found that only about 6% of Americans hold a biblical life view. And most people, they take in beliefs from all sorts of things, including professing Christians. It becomes a melting pot of beliefs, I guess. But only about 6% hold to a biblical life view, at least in the people that they studied. So you'll have people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. By the way, you want to know where you can find the power? It's in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. No other name.
Verse 6 tells us, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You could learn forever. You could learn till the end of your days and still not come to the knowledge of the truth if God does not open your eyes to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres, in case you're wondering, they were two of the magicians who withstood Moses. You might remember that incident in Egypt where Moses had his staff and he threw it down and it became a serpent. And he had the Egyptian magicians who seemingly did the same thing. They threw down their staffs and they became serpents as well. But they weren't really staffs in the first place. There was a special type of snake where you would grab it by the neck and it would become stiff as a stick, really. And you could even tap it on the floor, but it was really a snake. And, you know, they thought they were fooling everybody. But, of course, Moses, when he picked up his serpent again, he didn't grab it by the neck, he picked it up by the tail, which is something that those magicians never would have done. Verse 9 tells us, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity. We see that word charity there. We know that's a special kind of love, agape love, an unselfish love that demands nothing in return. Patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Praise God, isn't that wonderful? Yes, he was heavily persecuted. Everywhere he went, trouble seemed to follow him. And most of us have not gone through anywhere near what the Apostle Paul has gone through. But verse 12 tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, that doesn't sound very pleasant. But of course, we know there are different levels of persecution, too. It hasn't been real terrible in this country yet. That could change. That certainly could change. But thank God we're here today. We're in this building. We're reading scriptures. We're broadcasting online. We're able to do all of these things, and nobody is here trying to stop us. You couldn't do that in places like China or North Korea. They would break down the doors and haul everyone off. But I'm glad that we can be here. Nevertheless, there is a hostility towards God's people, and it is intensifying. And that is especially true of these liberals, which have taken over, and they have their cancel culture. I think it's probably only a matter of time before they'll try to cancel the Bible. They're trying to cancel everything else they don't like. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they attacked the Bible at some point. But yes, it tells us in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I remember, I'm going to read this next verse in a minute, but I remember years ago now when Barack Obama was president, he got up one day and gave a speech and he talked about how everything is getting better and better and things have never been better than they are right now. That was an Obama speech. Is that really the case? Of course, people don't generally talk about things like that anymore after everything this world has been through with this pandemic. You know, people know, everybody knows, not just the Christian people, everybody knows that we're living in perilous times right now. That's undeniable. But verse 13 tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, what we can glean from that verse, and it is an important verse, is that things are not going to get better in this world. They're going to get worse. But the good news is you have a better future awaiting you. It's not in this world. But this world is not your final destination. This world is not your final home. I know that Joel Osteen wrote a book that's entitled Your Best Life Now. But if you belong to the Lord, this is not going to be your best life. And wouldn't that be sad if it was for all of these people living in misery right now? But thankfully, we know that we have a heavenly city awaiting for us. The Jerusalem which is above is free and is the mother of us all. We know that the Lord Jesus said that he was going to make all things new. And we know that we have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness awaiting us. Verse 14 tells us, now how do you respond to the fact, the simple fact that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived? What should we do? Should we just run for the hills? Hide in the mountains? Move to Belize? Some people do that too, you know. What should we do? Well, it tells us in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue doing what you've been doing all along. Keep on walking by faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. No matter how bad this world gets, stay in the word of God. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what we all need to do. Stay in this book. Stay prayed up and keep studying the word of God. For in this book we find the words of eternal life. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 up next. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When he comes, he is coming unannounced. It's going to be a surprise. Most people aren't going to be watching for it. And most people aren't going to be expecting it. So, if you're ever wondering, you know, people try to set dates. They say they figure out when the Lord Jesus is going to come. And all of the dates that have been set, by the way, have been wrong. Every single one of them. And every other date that has been set for the coming of the Lord will be wrong. So you might be wondering, well, when is he going to come? Well, he's coming when you think not. He is coming when you think not. He is coming as a thief in the night. But you know, we know that we're living in perilous times right now. We see that. But what you really have to watch out for is when they say peace and safety.
I agree 100% on that one.
In fact, Verse 3 tells us, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." You need to be careful when they say they've got the solution. You need to be careful when they say all danger is past, when they say there's peace and safety. It's interesting, too, because I remember a few years ago I was looking at the United Nations website. I don't know if they still have this section on there or not. This was a while ago. But they had this section on their website, and it was actually called Peace and Security. And when I saw that, I immediately thought of this verse, because that sounds a lot like peace and safety, doesn't it? But, of course, we know that the United Nations was supposedly founded to bring about lasting peace, and there's been nothing but war ever since. So, we know they're not going to bring peace, and they're not going to bring security, nor are they going to bring safety. But there's a time coming when they will be saying peace and safety. They'll say the coast is clear. And the time when that happens, we're going to be, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but the time when it happens is probably going to be when that man of sin is revealed, which could be any day now, by the way. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." You do not have to be caught off guard. When the Lord comes, you will be surprised, because everybody is going to be surprised. But you don't have to be dismayed and caught off guard. You're watching and waiting for his return. We know that it could happen any time. And when it does happen, that'll be the best thing that could possibly happen to us. Because the fact of the matter is, this world is going to get worse and worse until he does come back. And I shudder to think about what this world is going to look like in 50 years if we're still here. Verse 5 tells us, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." We need to watch and be sober. And of course, Jesus told us to watch and pray. And we need to do that. We need to pay attention to what is happening in this world. Of course, we don't let the things that are happening in this world drag us down into a deep depression. Some people can't handle all of the things that are going on. They get bogged down by it. That's why we really need the Word of God so very much. That's why we need to stay in the Word of God. Amen. This world can be a very depressing place. And of course, during this pandemic, a lot of people have become very depressed. And that's not a surprise at all. But the Lord can help us. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And just that knowledge should make you happy. That should fill you with a joy. A knowledge that the Lord has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ came and went to that cross and carried the weight of your sins and died for your sins, was buried and rose again after 3 days and three nights, and has promised to give his Spirit to dwell inside you, should make you very, very happy. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." What's beautiful about that verse is Paul is telling us that if you are a Christian, if you belong to the Lord, whether you wake or sleep, in other words, whether or not you appear to be alive or dead to the world, either way, you're alive with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're here on this earth or you're on the heavenly, the new heavenly earth, you're with Jesus. And you're living with Him. Either way. If you're a Christian, you never stop living. You just depart this place for a better one. Verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Yes, we should comfort one another. When one of us is feeling down and one of us needs comfort, we're there. That's part of our job as brothers and sisters in the Lord, to comfort one another. And of course, we know that the Spirit of God is also the comforter, and we draw great comfort from that. But it also tells us, and edify one another. What does that mean? It means to build one another up. Amen. We live in a world today where people love to tear each other down. We can't do that. We need to build one another up. Edify one another. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Well, that can be a tall order, trying to be patient toward all men. Because there are going to be people in this world who try your patience. And you can find a lot of them driving down 151. But we're supposed to be patient toward all men. Support the weak. Comfort the feeble-minded. And of course, warn them that are unruly. So, if anybody ever has it in their mind to be unruly, I'm going to have to give you a warning. Don't do it. No being unruly here. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now we live in perilous times, but what should we do? Well, we have some instructions here from the Apostle Paul. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. We can do that. We can do that today. Pray without ceasing. And you're never going to run out of things to pray about. I'll tell you that right now. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not just a day in November, folks. Every day should be Thanksgiving. And if you read the book of Revelation, every day in heaven, well, it's really going to be just one day, one eternal day without a night, but that's going to be a day of Thanksgiving too. Heaven is going to be one long eternal Thanksgiving celebration. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. And you don't want to do that, because we need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God working. We need that power. We need that comfort. We need that teaching. We know that the Holy Ghost is so many things to us. It is our teacher. It gives us words to speak. It gives us words to write sometimes. It comforts us. You don't want to quench that. Despise not prophesyings. Of course, we also need to be able to discern the difference between true prophecy and false prophecy. Because there's a lot of false prophecy in this world. And if a prophet's ever wrong, that's a false prophet. You don't get to be wrong and keep prophesying. You have to have a 100% correct rate. You have to be right 100% of the time. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold on to that which is good. And one way you could read that, we know that there is none better, there is none greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. So one thing you can do to hold fast to that which is good is to hold fast to Jesus Christ. And verse 22 tells us, abstain from all appearance of evil. That can be a little harder in this day and age because there's appearance of evil all over the place. But we are to abstain from it as best we possibly can. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to sanctify you. God is able to preserve you even to the very end, even until that wonderful day when our Savior returns. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Not just those at Thessalonica. It says all the holy brethren and the cistern, too. Now, that's not a real word, but the sisters as well. Verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Yes, we see the world is filled with perilous things right now. We know that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we know that we need to be very careful and watch out when they say peace and safety.
Amen.
I tell you what, when they do say peace and safety, it probably means the arrival of a sinister figure. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Listen, when Jesus Christ comes back, there's not going to be any question. There's not going to be any dispute. Every person, every man, every woman, every child is going to know it. It's not going to be a mystery. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And if you're wondering if he came, well, if there's a next day, it wasn't him. There will be no more days and weeks and months and years and decades and centuries after Jesus Christ comes. Not going to be a millennium either. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, it certainly feels like a falling away has happened and is happening. People just do not regard the word of God like they used to. They do not regard the Lord Jesus like they used to. People have become very bold in their sins. And just you watch. You'll see it next month when they have their Pride Month. And now you have even so-called Christians who go along with it. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man of sin, son of perdition, is going to fool a lot of people. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if whoever this is, and I don't know. I know a lot of people try to figure it out. I don't know who this is at this point. We know that he will be revealed to God's people. That day is coming when he will be revealed. But a lot of people are going to be fooled by this. A lot of even so-called Christians are going to be fooled by this. They're going to think that this is God. And I tell you what, if people are going to be fooled and think that this man of sin is God, he obviously would have to have some special powers to do signs and wonders. And while I can't prove this, I cannot help but wonder if this man of sin, whoever it would be in the future, has these special powers because he is a transhumanist. You know what that is, right? They say transhumanism, it's almost like a religion. In fact, I would say it is a religion where people become part human and part machine. And they say that they'll be able to live forever by becoming part robot. And now you have Elon Musk who's trying to perfect his brain chip so that he can turn all of these people into part robots. Hybrid human beings. So that people can keep up with robots who in and of themselves have all of these special powers. Greater strength than any human ever could have. Something is going to enable this being, this man of sin, to have special powers. And I don't know for sure that that's what it is, but it wouldn't surprise me. In any case, he's going to be pretending to be God, an imposter. Verse 5 tells us, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." You're not going to figure it out who it is. You're not going to sit down with your pen and your paper or your tablet computer or your smartphone or your laptop and do all kinds of research and figure out who the man of sin is. He's revealed. And will be revealed to all of God's true people. Verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And yes, this man of sin will be taken out of the way. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The Lord Jesus Christ is going to completely destroy this imposter with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." You know, this man of sin could be revealed at any time. He might already be alive. We don't know. But we do know that the reason people fall for his deception is because they do not have a love of the truth. So if you want to make sure you don't fall for it, make sure you do have a love of the truth and stay in this book. Stay in the Word of God. Yes, we live in perilous times, but how should we respond to that? How should we react? Stay in the Word of God. And never let go of that love of the truth. Verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." We know that there are a lot of things coming upon this earth. And by the way, that man of sin, something you might have noticed in this chapter, it never actually calls him the Antichrist. And there's a reason for that. There isn't just one. If you read John's epistles, he says there are many antichrists. There are many of them. In fact, anyone who does not profess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is an antichrist. So don't worry about who the antichrist is. There's a prevailing antichrist spirit at work in this world. And because of that, we know that we are living in perilous times where evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to your Bibles. Hold fast to Jesus Christ and never forsake that love of the truth. We don't know when this show is going to wrap up, but it could be a lot sooner than people think. So be ready. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee, O God, for thy precious book. We thank thee for the admonishment we find in thy word. We thank thee for the edification we find in thy word. And we thank thee for the love that we find in thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to be mindful of thee. to not forsake that which is good, but to serve thee with our whole hearts, even in these perilous times. And we pray, Lord, that thou would keep all of thy children, all of thy people, that thou would sustain us even in these days ahead. Even though we live in such an uncertain time where amazing things are happening each and every day, we pray, Lord, that thou would sustain thy people and strengthen us by thy mighty hand. Give unto us thy precious spirit so that we may find the strength to stand even in the evil day. We pray, O God, that thou would continually bless thy people and give us the strength to walk with thee for all the entirety of our lives. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. We're going to sing a song in closing. Number 59 in the hymnal, When We See Christ. Thank you. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.